Welcome back. Now we are at module 1, part 8, how companies are using AI in marketing right now. So this basically is going to give you some various examples, some in pharmaceuticals, but in other sectors as well. I wanted to add a flavor of things that you could be doing in your sector. So let's dig into this. So I'm going to start with the pharmaceutical one. This was one that we did. So, but it has application in pretty much every industry. So it's really about identifying optimal key opinion leaders or thought leaders or influencers. So our client had a specific therapy space that they wanted to use big data to map that space. So who were the influencers? Who would be the influencers of the future? And who should they really spend their time to engage with? So essentially, we use the same kind of algorithms that you would be expecting the CIA to be using to do mapping of terrorist networks or drug cartels. And they do that pretty well. And their information is informant data. So can you imagine, in our case, we had real doctor data. So we could actually get a very, very accurate understanding of who was influencing who in this space. So the client wanted to really take it right back 3 years in terms of anyone in that space who'd even just published one paper. So as you can imagine, it was a fairly big amount of people. So it was around 36,000 people. So then they wanted to know, well, who are the top 200? And if we slice and dice this in particular ways, how could we, you know, get that to the top 10, for example, in different areas? And they also wanted an impact factor. They wanted to know exactly how much impact the different influencers were going to have. And they wanted it ranked in terms of order of influence, as well as with profiles. The other thing that we wanted to do was to look at anyone that they were engaging with that probably wasn't someone they should be spending a lot of money on. So we did the mapping, and it was very interesting. The company knew about 50% of the top 200, which was extremely eye-opening for them that they were missing quite a few people. But what was even more interesting is that they had a lot of what we call LOLs on their list. LOL is loud opinion leader. So these are people who talk a lot. They volunteer to speak at conferences. They speak all over the place. So their name comes up a lot, but actually no one pays that much attention to them. So they're loud, but they're not influential. So they actually had a few too many of those people. Now, it's important to identify those people, because if you are spending money on it, on those people, it isn't the best use of your money. But they're also useful to give data to, because they will talk anyway. So if you've got data you want them to spread, they'll spread it. But you don't have to pay them to do it, because they're going to be doing it anyway. So the outcome of this project was we were able to use this to validate their brand plan, but also pressure test their view of who the top influencers were, which was very much from personal relationships. We were able to identify blind spots in their medical science liaison engagement strategy. We also could identify future opinion leaders. So we could find who were the rising stars that would be eventually quite influential, even if they were still at the PhD level. You know, we could really find those people, and therefore the company could start to develop the relationship with them very early on in their career. We could do better publication planning and better congress interaction planning and communications. So very, very useful kind of way to use it for marketing. Okay, so the next example is something that every company could do, but eBay are doing it. So they are using artificial intelligence to write, maybe thousands is an understatement, of a huge quantity of emails, maybe hundreds of thousands of subject lines within minutes. So I'm sure everyone's familiar with eBay. So it's a basically online shopping/auction site that's best known for the auction style selling. So they've got billions of products and millions of customers, and they were looking for a way to make each customer feel like they were the only person in the world that mattered. Surely email's the way to do it. Yeah, but you know, they didn't want to just send cookie cutter emails to their whole list. And if their copywriters were meant to write personalized emails for each customer, that would be a really costly and time-consuming thing to do. You'd have to hire thousands of copywriters. So they turned to artificial intelligence to see whether artificial intelligence could generate personalized email subject lines that would work and email copy. So they used natural language generation and deep learning in the tool, and it can learn the brand's voice, this tool, and automatically write optimized email subject lines, Facebook ads, and push messages. So this meant training the tool on the company's data, letting it produce thousands of machine-written email subject lines, and those personalized email subject lines were then A/B tested at scale with their millions of customers, all in a few minutes. And now, because this is working, their copywriters are now free to focus on much more creative tasks. I mean, I think this tool is a pretty amazing use of AI, and I actually have a few versions of this that I will be releasing to my members in the cheat sheet on the different companies that can be useful. I mean, this is really, you know, close to plug and play. This system can learn your brand voice and really personalize whatever you want in any industry. So I will let you know about that as well. This is a case study that we did that is very close to my heart. It was for an ultra rare disease patient condition, and the client had a drug that treated this condition. So the condition was genetic, the children were born with the condition, but they would not live to see their teens. They would die very young if they weren't treated with this drug. So the client, basically what they were doing, because these patients were as rare as a needle in a haystack, you know, very, very difficult to find. So what they were doing was doing a lot and spending a lot of medical education to any doctor that may come in contact with one of these patients. So, you know, pediatricians, pediatric ENT, pediatric neurology, all sorts of different pediatric disciplines. The problem is, because it was so ultra rare, you know, 99 point something percent of these doctors would never ever see a patient in their life. So finding these patients early in their disease, though, is a very critical thing, because these patients will die. So we were actually engaged to do a forecasting project for this drug. And when we looked at the condition and looked at the pictures of the babies and the children who had the condition, we noticed something very interesting. These children all had a particular cranial structure and facial features that were quite similar. So we realized that there would be a much easier way using artificial intelligence to find these patients than just simply doing, you know, education, mass education of doctors, which is costly and most of it is just wasted because they will never see a patient. So we realized we could actually do face recognition technology, put it in a bot and let it trawl the internet to find photos of any child that's been posted that has that matches these kind of facial features. And we did that. And what was quite interesting is we also researched the condition, of course, and spoke to parents of children who had the condition, who had been identified already. And what was fascinating to us was that the parents did not realize that there was anything wrong with their child until they couldn't potty train. And that was when the red flag started and they couldn't understand why the child couldn't potty train. So what was interesting as well was the fact that when you looked at the clinical trial data and the medical data on this condition, there was not a single doctor that was ever asking parents about potty training. So it wasn't something that was on the doctor's radar as a diagnostic tool, and it's not a diagnostic tool, But it is certainly a red flag to start considering many conditions, I'm sure. So we realize that when the potty training issue started, that is when the parents would go online searching for potty training details and understanding what was going on. So we had to combine a few things, quite a few things in this project. So the first thing was, you know, it's fairly straightforward to do face recognition and get it to identify these patients. But then you also have to figure out, well, once the algorithm has found them, what then? How do we get them? So there were a few things that happened to me personally during this project. So one of them was I was traveling and I bought an automatic pet feeder because I was only going to be gone for a day at this particular time. And I thought, I'll just do a pet feeder and it's just overnight, it's fine. So I bought one. You know, it wasn't a high purchase decision. So I bought one. But every website I went to, it seemed like after that, served up ads for automatic pet feeders. So I thought, interesting, retargeting cookies. Stupid strategy, you know, very poor strategy on whoever is their digital marketing manager, because I bought the pet feeder. I wasn't looking for another pet feeder. However, you know, it all comes back to strategy and customer experience for me. With the strategy, they could have done an amazing job because A, they knew I had a pet. B, they knew what kind of pet. So instead of just trying to flog the same thing that I'd already bought, why were they not developing a relationship with me throughout the life cycle of my pet? Why didn't they consider, flea treatments in summer or whatever it is, you know, pet food discounts or whatever. There's so much that they could have done that they wasted that opportunity with me and they lost me because they just kept serving me these ads for these automatic pet feeders. So that was interesting, but it made me think, stupid strategy, but retargeting cookies, interesting. So that was one thing we thought, well, once we identify these children, we could drop a retargeting cookie so that we can serve something up to these parents who've put the photo up. The second thing that happened to me during this project was I was traveling to Hong Kong. And on the flight, I touched my shoulder after stretching and realized that there was a mole I hadn't felt before there. So when I got to the hotel, I looked in the mirror and thought, I should really just check that that's not melanoma. And so I typed in melanoma in my search engine in Google. And I looked at a few websites, but didn't put any of my information in. Within 10 minutes, I got a text on my cell phone inviting me to a melanoma talk on the other side of the world from where I was at that point in time, but near my house. So that felt very invasive and very creepy. And I realized the linking factor was Google. I have used Google for a lot of things. Google has a cookie in my computer that you can never get rid of. So it has linked up my cell phone number, my address, all sorts of things. And it has linked that I was looking at melanoma. So Google obviously had sold that data to the company that was doing these melanoma talks. Now, obviously the intent with the melanoma talks was nice. They were trying to help people who had melanoma and give them education. But I had not, well, I guess I had given my consent to give my details because I used Google and, you know, using Google means you've agreed to their 26 or 300 pages of consent, which no one reads. However, I had obviously given that kind of consent to Google, but it did make me feel very invaded because I didn't know this company. How did they get my cell phone? I hadn't ever searched on melanoma in my life before. So clearly it felt very creepy. They knew I was searching. They knew where I lived. They had my cell phone number. So I thought about it and I felt very invaded and it just felt horrible. But it made me think, that's a very bad customer experience. We do not want the parents of these children to ever feel what I felt in that moment. We want them, even though this and that melanoma talk is the same thing, it was something that was designed to be good and helpful. However, This drug is designed to save the lives of these children. However, you do not want the parent to think, how did they know I had this child? You know, what are they, how, what, you know, you just don't want that horrible, stalking, creepy, invasive feeling. So the way we then thought about this project was, well, we could use a retargeting cookie and we could send them, we could actually not send them, we do a retargeting cookie, and when they next go to Google, we could have an ad buy so that if they are searching on potty training or any of the things around that, and only the people with a child that have this condition that have put up the photo, only when they are searching on things around potty training will we show this ad, which will have a picture of a child with this condition, which will catch their attention because it will look like their child, and then they can go and find the information about this condition and go and get diagnosed. And so that's exactly what we did. And so the great thing about this was that the parents were genuinely searching for an answer to the problem at the point that they got the ad. And we, you know, because the algorithm had identified them from the face, from the cookie and the face recognition bot, it was the right person being identified for that ad, but at the right point in time when they were searching for it. So this was a really good outcome. You know, within the first 3 months, 13 new patients were identified. And that doesn't sound like very many, but this was a condition where there are about 100 patients in the world that had been identified. So it was an ultra, ultra rare condition. So to have 13 new patients in 3 months like that was unheard of before. So this is something that is probably one of the best uses of artificial intelligence. It's something that is helping people, and it's something that is super personalized and strategically in the right part of the journey for the end customer. They're looking for what's going on. And of course it saved lives. So, you know, that was a really fun case study, but something to think about. You know, there's a lot you can do. Okay, so this one is also quite interesting. This was a little bit like the eBay one. So the American Marketing Association have 100,000 plus email subscribers that they send newsletters to. And so they wanted to use AI to deliver a daily marketing email quickly and easily. And so they basically wanted to be able to have relevant posts from around the web that were really personalized to that individual reader's interests. So before, they would create a newsletter from scratch, which went out to everyone, the same newsletter, and they just didn't have the resources to release more than one a week. Now, by using AI to do this, they are offering a newsletter that's super personalized to that person Monday to Friday. So that means that the subject lines are personalized, the content of the newsletter is personalized because it's being picked up from around the web for that person, and it's very tailored to that person, so it sparks their interest and keeps them much more engaged. So you've got a nice customer engagement going on there. And that then meant that, you know, they grew their traffic a lot because there were so many click-throughs from their newsletter, and they actually increased their monthly engagement by 42%, which was a lot higher than industry standards. So that was a nice one too. And again, I can guide you into companies that can do this for you. So this next case study was one that was for some market researchers. Now, I don't know about your company, but many companies do market research and then they get a results presentation in PowerPoint of the insights from the research. This particular client had a lot of PowerPoint presentations from research from the past, but they had this challenge whereby their team was changing. So they were in pharmaceuticals, and a lot of brand teams change every so many years, every 18 months or so. And so that meant that the knowledge about that condition that had been gained from the research was lost because the people were going to another brand. So what they wanted to do was find a way that they could not lose the knowledge when people left and quickly get new people easily up to speed without having to read a huge stack of PowerPoint. So the way we approached this was really, we took all the PowerPoint data and we put it into a database. But that's clearly not going to be that useful unless you are using natural language processing and computational linguistics. So if you didn't do that, if you just used machine learning, for example, you know, someone could search on something, but it would have to be the exact same terminology that was used in the PowerPoint to find it. You know, it would just be a simple matching kind of process. Whereas if you're using computational linguistics and therapy area dictionaries, you can basically create lots of variations of what terms mean, the semantics, syntactic structure, etc., and then do natural language processing to ensure that you've got accurate interpretation of the language and the meaning. Because you could ask a question in one phraseology, but that question could be answered quite clearly in a different terminology in a report. So if you didn't use the natural language processing and the computational linguistics, you would miss a whole heap of information by asking with the wrong words. So then we layered it with a chatbot, and so anyone could access it. So you could talk to the chatbot and ask a question. You could say, you know, I don't know, what is the messaging for this particular segment of my audience? Or, you know, what imagery would speak to this other segment? Or, you know, whatever it is. So, and you could also type in questions to a chatbot. So it was really a knowledge database of everything that they had ever found out about that condition from research. And it was actioned by everyone needing it. So the great thing about these kind of things is the more interactions and with users and questions it has, the more it learns about what people need when, and the more predictive it becomes. So there were things that are on the next steps of this project, which is to program it to alert people about things they're going to need to know before they need to know it. So just in time kind of prediction. Linking it to calendars. So for example, if the team have a meeting with their advertising agency or a marketing agency, the system could tell them some of the gaps in the knowledge in the database and what they need to be talking to the agency about. And then of course, adding additional languages so that the knowledge databases from their affiliates around the world could all be combined, searched by country, but in all of that information could be combined. So this is a great use of natural language processing alongside machine learning to really access data that's just buried in files. And it doesn't have to be market research data, it could be pretty much any data. Omnichannel marketing with AI. So this is really looking at next best action modeling. So this client had quite a few different therapy areas, lots of different brands. They had 10 platforms that they were collecting data for all of their brands in all their countries. So, you know, things like Radian 6 for social listening, Marketo for web automation, Salesforce for CRM, and so on. So they were collecting the same data around their brands in different countries. And they had a new digital director globally who had looked at their customer engagement and felt it was very lacking. And he had a vision of full integration and automation of data and decisions and content and channels. So we created a custom in-house solution of next best action modeling, which is also sometimes called context marketing. So what that was doing was really identifying what is the journey that leads to a lift in this case, prescribing of our brand, and backtracking through that journey to identify the variables around the people that went through that journey, so that when new people come into the journey, we can know what path they should go on that will get them there with greatest engagement and greatest results. So it's like, it just reminded me of something in a previous module. Oh yes, so you remember we were looking at the different types of machine learning. And so, you know, this is really using a combination of a few different approaches. So firstly, you know, it is supervised to an extent because we are knowing our outcome is the lift in prescribing, or if you're in another industry, the lift in sales, for example. But it's also unsupervised because No, it's you're then clustering and finding what are the common variables, what's the combination of variables that lead people down the same path. And so when a new person comes into the system, you know where, how they should go. So essentially what we're looking at is, you know, when a person comes into our system, what is the right content to be delivering to them at this point in time, in what channel at this point in time, and in what sequence? So we're looking at, you know, what content, what sequence, what channels will drive each individual for greater engagement, faster adoption, and incremental growth. So what sequence should it all be delivered in for that? This is a really interesting area, and I think eventually all companies will be doing it. It is a more costly approach because there is a lot of data cleaning in the whole process that we'll be going through shortly, but it is something that I think big companies will all be doing in the next few years, if not sooner. So I have done a special content video just on this, so explaining it in a lot of detail. So keep an eye out for that if you're in my membership. Okay, so that is some examples of AI use in marketing, and we will close part 8 now, and I will see you on part 9.